Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Today is day 271, and that brings us to Proverbs chapter 10. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your truth, for your word in all of its varied fullness. We had a psalm yesterday. We have Proverbs today. We've been in Deuteronomy and 1 Corinthians, and we just thank you for the variety, for the truth, for the beauty, for the power of your word. We pray that you would write your word on our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path of life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse? That's Proverbs chapter 10. And this is the first chapter of Proverbs, of actual Proverbs. You know, typically what a proverb is a two-line saying of the wise, right? It's two lines. And the two lines either repeat the same idea or they contrast opposites. So in the first verse, you have a contrast of opposites. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. The second one also contrasts. Treasure gained by wickedness does not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. So sometimes you have this contrast, and sometimes it goes from positive to negative. Sometimes it goes from negative to positive. Sometimes, though, it repeats the same idea twice. Now, those are not as common, but they do show up in Proverbs sometimes, where it'll basically trying to find one in this chapter. So number 22, it expands the idea. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, right? So there you have, it's really the same idea that's being expanded, right? But most of them you can see are two lines that contrast each other. And usually it's contrasting the way of righteousness, wisdom, and the Lord with the way of foolishness, selfishness, worldliness, okay? Now, the other thing we should note is that Proverbs are Proverbs, right? That sounds really obvious, like, oh, Pastor, what a profound thought. Proverbs are Proverbs. But what I mean by that is that they're not promises. They're not laws. They're not prophecies. They're not gospels, right? They are Proverbs. There are different genres of literature within the Bible, and the genre of literature here is the genre of a proverb. And a proverb is a wise saying. It is an observation about life. God has created the universe. He made it all. He formed the heaven and the earth by the word of his power. The word that formed the world is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Logos of God. And so the world is ordered by God, and it has, therefore, God's character of morality woven into the very fiber and fabric of creation. And that means you can make observations, and you can see that those people who honor the Lord and those people who live according to God's wisdom generally do better in life. They generally make more money, they generally live longer, they generally have a happier life, they generally raise up children who know the Lord. And those who are foolish, and those who are rebellious, and those who are proud, and those who are slovenly or sluggards, right? All those different ways of going against the wisdom of God, those people generally suffer harm for it. They generally lose their jobs and aren't trusted by others and lose friendships and go hungry and end up having a hard life. And these are generally true. And that's what a proverb does. A proverb tells you, gives you insight into the way God has made the world, the way the world works on a general basis. And I'm saying that general over and over again, because these are not promises, okay? So, for example, the verse that I looked at to show you how God expands on it, right? Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Does that mean that if you love the Lord loves you, the Lord's blessing you, you're going to be rich and you're not going to have any sorrow? As a promise from God, he says, I guarantee you, you're going to be rich and you won't have any sorrow because my blessing is on you. Who was the most blessed man in the history of the world? Of whom did God the Father actually speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son, and with him I am well pleased? Right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Was he rich in an earthly sense? No, he was a homeless man. And did he have no sorrow? Well, he had lots of sorrow. In fact, he's called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Or look at the apostles. They left all to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus said that they would be repaid even in this life and much more in the life to come. And they were, in that they left all to follow Jesus, and they became part of Jesus' kingdom and part of his church, where they got brothers and sisters and they got a place of purposeful service. But from a worldly perspective, they weren't rich men, and they endured a lot of hardship and a lot of sorrow, and most of them died young, right? So the proverb here that talks about how righteousness leads to long life, right? But wickedness shortens your life. Well, were the apostles short because they died early? No, they died a martyr's death because that was what they were called to and what God had appointed for them. So you cannot take a proverb and try to turn it into a promise, right? That's not what it's for. It's not, I'm going to claim, Proverbs 10:6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And those blessings I'm going to claim, according to verse 22, is going to be riches and no sorrow. So I'm going to put Proverbs 10:6 and Proverbs 10:22 together. I'm going to claim my promises. No, you can't do that because that's just illegitimate. First of all, that whole mindset of I'm going to claim my promises before God is dangerous when you're trying to turn God into a means for you to get your selfish desires fulfilled for earthly material things. I want a bigger house. I want a better job. I want a faster car. I want more money in my bank account. So I'm going to claim my promises from God. That is just wrong. That's just wicked, flat out wicked to actually approach God that way. And so we shouldn't do that at all. But if we're going to claim promises from God, they are the promises of God that are yes in Christ, that our sins have been forgiven. We can say, Lord, I trust you that because I believe in Jesus Christ, all of my sins are forgiven, that we are adopted as children of God. We can say, Lord, I believe that because I belong to you through faith in Jesus Christ, I am your child forever, that I've been adopted as your son and as your heir, as a co-heir with Christ. Like, we can claim gospel promises that are fulfilled in Christ, and we can rejoice in them. So we need to not misuse the Proverbs. But the Proverbs do teach us a lot. And one of the things they teach us is that if we truly know the Lord and love the Lord, it will affect the way we live our lives. There's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, I know the Lord, and oh yeah, I love the Lord. And then they're lazy. And then they're foolish. Or they gossip. Or they slander. Or they backbite. That's not in keeping with godly wisdom. Like, if you love the Lord, you will want to, you will desire to, you will strive to walk in wisdom. And that's what the Proverbs help us to do. They help us to say, Lord, I thank you for loving me. I love you because you first loved me. I want to walk according to wisdom. I need some wisdom. And what the Proverbs tell us is, you listen to the advice of those who are older and wiser than you, and you follow their advice, right? You act in a right way, right? You work hard. You gather in summer when things are good. You put money aside in the bank account. You save. You walk in integrity, verse 9, so that you keep your word, right? You don't wink the eye. You don't spread gossip. That's what verse 10 is talking about. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool comes to ruin. There's another one where the two lines are both saying the same thing, but just different words are expanding on it. You don't hate other people, right? That stirs up strife. Instead, you love other people, and you cover all offenses. So there is much practical guidance here to trust God, listen to those who are older than you are, watch your tongue, make sure your words are a blessing to others, right? Work hard, save up, when you can, right? Seek to serve and to be a blessing to others. These are the kinds of things that we get from the Proverbs. And as we go through these chapters, we'll be unpacking some specifics because there are types. There are types of characters who kind of show up throughout Proverbs. The wise man, the fool, the sluggard, the gossip, the righteous man, the hasty man. Right, so we'll see all those, and we'll see what consequences come from them as we unpack the Proverbs together. But first, I just think it's important that we understand what Proverbs are and are not, and then how we should properly approach them. So how do the Proverbs relate to Christ? Well, what we saw back in Proverbs chapter 8 is that Christ is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God incarnate. And Christ led the most wise life. He worked hard. He trusted his heavenly Father. He sought to be a blessing to others. He spoke words of truth, right? So all the good that we have in Proverbs, Jesus embodied it perfectly in his life. And if Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit is conforming us to the likeness of Christ, then these are not just practical words of wisdom for living. they are actually a pattern for Christ-like living. And we can only really walk in the path of Proverbs by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect wisdom incarnate. So Proverbs should draw our hearts back to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Proverbs. Thank you for what you teach us through your Proverbs and the wisdom that you give us. Thank you that you care about our lives in a very practical way. Help us to be wise, to be diligent, to be faithful, to be hardworking and prudent and righteous and kind and all the things that Proverbs would teach us to do. But we need your help to do that. We can't just do that on our own. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work the righteousness of Christ in us so that Christ's righteousness might shine through us and that we might grow in these characteristics as we grow in Christ, and that they might be an expression of the life and character of Christ within us. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to be back in the book of Deuteronomy tomorrow, so join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.